When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment your work stress disappears as you kayak through the canyons. Or the moment you discover the life-changing effects of prickly pear chocolate. But nothing beats the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the very first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com. When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
The world champion Dodgers have some world champion podcasts. Don't miss a chance to catch up on Dodger Talk by podcasting it on the iHeartRadio app. Just search Dodger Talk for new episodes every weekday and after each game.
AM 570 KLAC, 98.7 KYSR, HD2.
Los Angeles.
Available anywhere using the iHeartRadio app.
AM 570.
An LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peterson.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney
Peet.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
The Friday show where anything goes. Fred Rogan, Rodney Peet on AM570 LA Sports. And if anything goes, right off the top, Alias P has tweeted the show. Fred, cry me a river. Stop speculating. Lakers ass all year, and that's why they in. He's talking about the Suns. No, if the Lakers had been healthy, they would have beat the Suns. I'm sorry, Alias P. They would have beat the Suns.
Yeah, I agree. They would. I mean, you look the way it was going. We talked about a tale of two teams. Clippers were left for dead. Lakers found their groove, and AD gets hurt. I mean, let's be clear. Games 2 and 3, it was, okay, now the Lakers are ready to roll. And one guy gets hurt, your guy gets hurt. They couldn't recover when AD. We said this all along. I mean, they can't win a championship without AD or LeBron. And then when he went out, it was just no chance.
But as Arizona guys, yeah, I like the Suns now. I want to watch them. I hope they win. I do. But I grew up in Phoenix. You know, so as a guy that saw their first game ever, yeah, it would be kind of cool for them. But I'm telling you, if the Lakers have been healthy, they would have beat them. Now, do you think Sean McVay is thrilled that Jared Goff is gone? How much tension do you think really there was last year between Sean McVay and Jared Goff? Seriously.
I think there was, especially towards the end, it was definitely a lot of tension. I think there's more frustration over the last couple of years with Jared Goff than the tension. The tension, clearly, with him not starting the playoff game, that was the writing on the wall, and we said this during.
No, you nailed it. You said it, and you were right.
Yeah, so it was the writing. So there definitely was a lot of attention going on, but I wouldn't say he's glad that he's gone. I guess the he's happy that Stafford's there.
Okay, that's a nice way to put it.
That take the easy way out for him.
No, you took the diplomatic way out.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. When they drafted Jared Goff, you know, they traded up. They got him. Kevin Demoff said, go big or go home. They needed to make a splash. That was their guy.
Yeah.
That's who they wanted. So Sean McVay was basically married to him when he got the job. And he had to develop him. And there's a point in time where no matter how much you work with somebody, you have an expectation for them to continue to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what happened was, in Sean McVay's mind, and I think if you're a Rams fan, you might agree, Jared Goff has hit a ceiling here. He could do what he could do, but he wasn't going to get any better. If he was really good, okay, that was fine. But he wasn't going to improve. There was no more growth. And when you deal in a situation like that, and your livelihood is tied to somebody else, where you need that person to continue to grow, and that person can't grow, you become frustrated. Then you take other steps. Then you get rid of them.
Yeah.
And Sean McVay kind of got tagged this week when he was, you know, the Rams had their camp out at in Thousand Oaks, and they practiced at SoFi yesterday. And earlier in the week, he was asked about, you know, what Matthew Stafford means, and, you know, how great is to have him here. And he basically said, this is the greatest thing ever. Are you kidding me? Nobody happier than I am about this. I'm a better coach now. Yeah. Wow, there's a difference. Maybe he shouldn't have said that. Maybe he probably shouldn't have said that.
Why do you say that, Fred?
Well, first, it was honest. But second,
people take it as a shot at Jared Goff, right?
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Much so that McVay decided that he'd better clarify what he said, because when people were bringing it up to him, he said, wait a minute, I never said that.
You know, I hate that I even have to say this, but I think I made a comment earlier that was definitely taken out of context. I am very excited. I have been in a good mood because of the confidence I have in this team. But by no means is that a slight to anybody, you know, like Jared, who has done a phenomenal job for the last 4 years here. You know, I hated that I even have to address that, but I do think, out of respect for him and all the good things he's done, I am in a good mood. But that doesn't mean it's not because we're working together or because of just Stafford exclusively. There's a lot of good things going on that I feel really good about and I'm confident about. So don't twist my words when I didn't say that.
You buy that?
Ooh. Yeah, but he meant it.
Yeah, well, he meant it. He sold it big time.
Yeah, he meant it. It is, you can't help it sometimes. And when somebody asks you that, it's usually your first reaction is the reaction that you is the honest reaction.
Sure.
And so when they asked about him and he said, oh, this is fantastic, I love it, I'm in a great move. Yes, of course. I think he feels like we got our guy now. This is a guy that can get us over the top. And it really is no disrespect to Jared Goff. It's just a different type of player that fits what Sean McVay wants to do. And there's no way getting around offending somebody, because that's just the nature of how conversations go. If you really are excited about one person, immediately the people are going to think, well, you didn't like the other guy. Where it could be, you like the other guy, but you just love this guy.
Right.
No disrespect, but this guy is the real deal. And we're going to go, you know, big, and we feel like with our defense, this was the missing piece. And that's okay. That's okay. But I think him addressing that again probably made it worse.
Yeah, right. Don't twist my words. Well, we actually didn't twist your words. We heard what you said. But now I'm telling you I didn't mean it. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Clearly. What kind of year do you think Jared Goff has in Detroit?
He's... I feel bad for him. I really do. I feel bad for him. Because they're again, we've talked about Detroit a lot, and things haven't changed a whole lot in Detroit in terms of philosophy, in terms of their commitment to winning. And so I think it's going to be a struggle for him. They're not a great team to begin with, but then you put it stemming from the top, it's going to be tough. And then you add the head coach that's there, Dan Campbell, who is, you know, taking from central casting as a high school coach in the Midwest or Midland, Texas, somewhere, that is just ultimate rah-rah. And you're talking to, you know, guys that are in their mid-20s and mid-30s and, you know, putting on helmets and space gear and biting kneecaps and all the things that he's talking about. It's just a sideshow that I don't think they need. So I do. I feel for him. You know, you can't hardly feel too bad for a guy playing quarterback in the NFL, making a lot of money. But in terms of just when you look at his scenario versus, you know, where he came from, it's going to be a rude awakening for Jared Goff this year.
Biting kneecaps.
Yeah, biting kneecaps.
Punch in the face.
Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't work with NFL guys.
Let's bring an axe in the locker room and somebody get cut up.
Okay, well, the Clippers are pretty close to being cut up again. They lose last night in Utah. They were behind. They had the run. But remember, the NBA is always a series of runs.
Yep.
You know, you'll have yours, they'll have theirs. And now what happens? Well, what happened was they kind of ran out of gas, didn't play great defense at the end, When Ingles hit that three, it was the dagger. It stabbed them right in the heart. Now they're down 0-2. And it sets up what we've said all along. If they don't win this series, and don't make excuses, they're healthy. If they don't win this series, this doesn't work. It doesn't. There's something wrong. Because you have one of the best teams. You have two of the best players. Here you are. It's money time. I don't care what you do in the regular season. Yeah. As our good friend Mick Cronin would say, checking the halftime score makes you a loser. If you're going to go backwards and say, well, here's what we did in the regular season, and then you get your butt kicked in the playoffs, you're a loser. The regular season doesn't matter anymore. If they cannot figure this out and putting themselves in a hole doesn't make it any easier, Rodney, this doesn't work.
So you're giving it 2 years, and that's it, right? So if they don't make it 2 years, you got to break it up, or you got to change some things.
You've got to do something different. I don't know what that is. I don't have your answer to that, but I know this. Yeah,
so you're saying the Clippers are not don't have the luxury of the process.
No, they don't. They play here. They play in L.A. They don't play in Philadelphia, not where Philadelphia, there's one basketball team,
or Milwaukee,
where there's one team,
Boston. Well, Boston had a little process going, but it didn't work out.
It didn't work out. All right, and what did they ultimately do?
Yeah.
They've changed.
Yeah.
They have to change. So what do the Clippers need to do? What do they need to do differently? And, you know, Kawhi played okay. Paul George, he was okay.
But stop there. Yeah, Kawhi played okay. And you're going to have okay games.
Yeah.
And Paul George was pretty good. Reggie Jackson has been phenomenal for
him. He's been terrific.
But as we talk about Kawhi, it just frustrates you because you know he's got it in him. We saw that in the Dallas series. We saw it when their backs were to the wall, where he's the best player on the court by far. And I guess it's just a matter of you want to see that all the time. You want to see that game one, game two, game six, game whenever. You want to see Kawhi be the best player on the court. And we're kind of spoiled because we've seen that here. We've seen that mentality with Kobe. We see it where when he's healthy, LeBron is going to assert himself and impose his will on people. And we don't always see that from Kawhi. It's almost like, okay, I'm going to let some other guys get going, and if they need me, I'll come through, instead of being that assassin from start to finish in every single game. But if they don't do it this year, Fred, as you mentioned, it'll be interesting to see what they do in the offseason if they do break it up. Because think about it. Golden State's coming back with Klay Thompson. They're going to be better. You're seeing Phoenix as a good, really good young team. And Chris Paul is not retiring anytime soon.
Utah
is only going to get better.
Jamal
Murray will be back with Denver. We're assuming with the full offseason, AD and LeBron will be healthy again. We'll see what other pieces they add to it. So this is their best shot. And if they can't pull it off this year with, people said this about the Lakers last year. Well, Clippers are out of it, so now this is the Lakers' shot. I feel the same way with the Clippers. Lakers are not in their way. A healthy Laker team would have given them problems. We picked the Lakers.
Yep.
If they're healthy. So this is their best shot to get to the finals, at least get to the Western Conference Finals. And if they don't do it, it is a big-time failure.
Yeah, and the problem is when you see Phoenix the way they play, and now watching Utah the way they play, the Clippers don't do this. They just come at you.
Yes.
I don't care who's in the game. It's like they're playing 150 miles an hour. And they are coming.
Phoenix and Utah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They are just coming right
to finish.
Right. There's no let up. There's no slow it down. They are on you, and they just are charging you the whole game. Clippers don't play that way. Clippers don't play like that. You know, there's ebbs and flows. But you watch Utah last night. They're fast.
Yeah.
Watching Phoenix, they're fast. Clippers don't play that way. Their ebbs, their flows, it's up, it's down. They're not playing that way.
It's almost as if they take on the personality of their best player, Fred.
Well, maybe. And did you hear what Doris Doris Burke said last night during the game? She said, what? You know, the Clippers play with this casual attitude. Yeah. Casual.
Yeah.
You know? They play like the guys walking into the gym at the AAU tournament. They're really cool. Here we are. They're cool.
It's almost like, okay, oh, we're down 21. Now let's turn it on.
Yeah, let's go.
That's cool. That works in January against the Pelicans on a random Wednesday. Now they get a team with the best record in the NBA. They dug themselves a hole against Dallas. How many times can you do this and actually expect to get yourself out of it? Yeah, I think they just have, I don't know if it's arrogance or if it's just their personality, but I feel like they need to get kicked in the, you know, kicked in the you-know-whats a couple of times to wake them up.
And that's the crazy thing. Where's the arrogance come from?
Right.
From an organization standpoint, where's that come from?
I don't know.
The only one that can really be arrogant is Kawhi.
Right.
Right? It does. Feels like they come in there, they're casual, like, you know, okay, we can be down 0-2 and we'll find a way to come back. We'll turn it on when we can turn it on. We'll flip the switch. And that's kind of how they've been all season, right? They have guys in and out of lineup. We often talk about the load management, chemistry not playing together. It's like, oh, we'll get it going in the playoff time. They said that last year, and what happened? So it feels like that's the same thing in the mentality. And I don't know, and Kevin, you may be right to saying that they kind of take on the personality of a laid-back Kawhi Leonard. Is just, you know, okay, we'll get it going when I need to get it going. And that's sometimes not enough.
Okay, we have Giltini tickets to give away between now and 3, and a lot of them. They play Sunday at the Coliseum against Houston. It's a 4 o'clock kick. It's going to be a great afternoon. You'll have a chance to go. Later in the show, Ned Colletti will jump on. And when we come back, NBA insider Dan Wojcik. The comments of Rich Paul, LeBron's agent, AD's agent, KCP's agent, Montrezl Harrell, Talen Horton Tucker. I'm leaving one out. He's got one other on the Laker. And what he said was, when referring to the Lakers, we. He's the agent, and he's saying we. We'll get into that.
If you missed any of Rogan and Rodney, you can podcast it on the iHeartRadio app.
Rogan and Rodney.
AM 570 LA Sports.
It is Friday, Fred. And you know what?
I don't care.
Big Friday show. Anything goes.
It's you, dope.
A couple of minutes, we'll play Know Your Squad. And today, the squad is the Dodgers. We'll give you a cue to call.
Love it.
Hey, Kevin, whoever plays that, we'll give him Giltinis too, okay?
Oh, yeah. We got a lot of Giltinis.
I'll give you Giltini tickets for playing Know Your Squad coming up.
Now, and they play at the Coliseum, baby.
That's right.
Yes.
Sunday afternoon, 4 o'clock. Now a man that's covered rugby for most of his life and just switched to the NBA, our insider from the Times, Dan Wojcik. Dan, welcome to the scrum.
Thanks, Fred. I haven't covered rugby. I did own rugby shirts for a period of time in my life. It was a choice I made fashion-wise. I thought it made me look tougher.
Yeah.
It didn't.
No, it didn't. That's not surprising, Dan, with all due respect.
No.
Rugby shirts and shorts?
Oh, yeah.
No, just the shirt.
Oh, you had the shorts too, Dan. Shorts. Come on, Danny.
No. Too much thigh for me. Too much thigh, mate.
All right, Dan, let me ask you about this. So Rob Pelinka says the Lakers front office has been empowered to spend money to build a championship roster, but spend it smartly. When he says that, basically he's saying nothing. Because, yeah, you've got the money to spend.
Yeah.
Manage the cap. Do your job. So that was a big statement and a headline that said nothing to me.
No, you're right. And welcome to the Rob Pelinka press conference experience. And a lot of times it's very close to the plays things very close to the chest in terms of like what actually is happening. Look, right, like the Lakers took a financial hit this year. A lot of NBA teams did. You know, they never got to full capacity in buildings. Which is, you know, it doesn't hit them as hard as it would hit some other places that count on that revenue more from things like, you know, obviously they're a tenant at Staples Center. It's not their building. So it's like, you know, they don't get all the parking money, all the popcorn money, et cetera, et cetera. But, they do ticket revenue matters to them. It is a big slice of their pie. I would say, before we get too doom and gloom about that type of stuff, though, they've got a pretty sweet TV deal, right? Like the best in the NBA. So that they've got money, And I think basically what Rob Pelinka is saying is what every NBA executive would tell you, is that it's good news that ownership says, like, yes, we are willing to potentially pay the tax. But you got to justify it. We're not just going to do it to do it. And so, I mean, I think that'll be the position they operate from this summer. I'm very curious to see how they handle things, because like their direct paths to improvement are fairly limited.
Yeah. So that being said, who's on the table? Who's untouchable other than LeBron and AD? Or is AD?
I think you just answered your question. I would say those are the two. Now look, right? Like, I mean, no one is ever truly untouchable. Truly, truly, right? Like, there's always something that would make you say, like, that's a good deal. But like, yeah,
Jerry Weintraub. You know, Jerry Weintraub would tell you, there's always a guy.
There's always somebody. There's always somebody, right? Like, if Dallas called and said you can have Luka Doncic and, I don't know, 75 first-round picks, like, yeah, maybe you do it. But I think, like, I think to me it's like that's the core. Those two guys, they're the core. And so everything exists to be built around those two players. And so if that means Kentavious Caldwell-Pope or Kyle Kuzma or Dennis Schroeder sign and trade or a reshuffling in the front court, whatever, like, that's just all on the table. And if it's not, it better be. Truly, like, that's part of the deal in this. And I think everybody involved sort of knows it. And it was one of the challenges that this team had last year, was kind of figuring out the best ways to sort of accentuate the stars. And the injuries put a big dent in that. I mean, look, right, like, we can talk a lot about this stuff and what they should do and what they need to do, but, like, mostly, like, they need to just
Stay healthy. Yeah. But whatever they do, whatever Rob Pelinka chooses to do, and later in the show, Rodney and I are going to discuss the fact that I think Rob Pelinka's on the clock. We'll get to that later. Because whatever he does, doesn't he have to call Rich Paul and confirm it with him? Since Rich Paul now says, when he speaks of the Lakers, us, the agent for Anthony Davis, LeBron James, KCP, Caitlin Horton.
The royal us. Look, they've done this on purpose, right? Honestly, they've done this on purpose. This isn't an accident. It's nothing that should be, like, too earth-shattering. They've empowered their stars, and Rich Paul represents their stars. And if you don't believe that he has a collaborative voice in this, like you said, then you're not really looking at the roster. Like, it's as simple as that. But I would say, you know, there are worse people to collaborate with. Like, you're talking about the guy who represents LeBron James and Anthony Davis. And that's a great place to start. And I think that's, you know, for as disappointing as this Lakers season ended, and we've said this, you know, a bunch of different times over the course of the year, it's just like, you know, it all kind of came down to whether those two guys were going to be credibly healthy or not. And they weren't at the end of the season. And I don't know that a Kyle Lowry trade would have changed that. Actually, I do know it wouldn't have. I don't know that better management of the back half of the roster, which I think is a fair point of criticism, would have changed that. I don't think it would have. You know what I mean? Like, I think, you know, having a two-way player, a pair of two-way players that you have really no plans for, that doesn't help your organization, right? Especially when, you know, they kind of play the same position and you needed a point guard. It would have been great if one of them could play point guard. Like, whatever. I mean, we're nitpicking, and he deserves to be nitpicked. But, again, if LeBron James and Anthony Davis are healthy, like, Rob Pelinka is going to look like a pretty smart guy.
Yeah, but when you, as we were watching, those guys need to be healthy. But even in the bubble, it was Rondo and it was Caldwell-Pope who had a good playoff run mm-hmm. last year. So you have to have, you still have to have those, that supporting cast. And of the way the Lakers are constructed right now, do you see, say, Taylor Horton Tucker, Caldwell Pope, and I know they're, you know, different contract situations, Schroeder, Kyle Kuzma, yeah, those guys back on the team again?
It's a good question. I mean, I think, you know, the financials of it are it's tricky because, like, when you build a team around two superstars, right, like, you essentially, you kind of say goodbye to salary cap space, right? Like, it's not like, so, basically, like, you could be like, we don't want Dennis Schroeder anymore. Okay, well, your options for replacing him, it's not like you can just bring someone in who makes the same amount of money that you were getting ready to pay Dennis Schroeder. Like, you can maybe do a sign and trade, but, like, it gets trickier. So the question starts to become, like, you know, of the options available, like, where does Dennis Schroeder rank? And I think he's probably going into this a good option. Now, will they look at sign and trade options? Will Dennis Schroeder look to maybe go elsewhere? Those are all options too, I think. But look, the Lakers are negotiating from a position where I think, I wouldn't say strength. I would say that Dennis Schroeder knows that he's probably the highest paid player they can sign. And they need a point guard. So I think he'll drive a fairly tough bargain is kind of what I anticipate. But, you know, as far as the complimentary players, I still generally believe that LeBron and AD are good enough to kind of lift, you know, to rise all ships around them, to coin a phrase that I think is one. But if not, it seems like it makes sense.
It always makes sense, even if it doesn't when you're on. We appreciate it, Dan.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Appreciate it.
All right, well,
guys. I took a lot of hits to the head in my rugby playing days. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Oh, yeah. It gets tough in the middle of that thing.
The scrum.
Yeah. It's nasty in there.
All right, Dan. Thanks for doing this. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Be good. Have a good weekend.
You too.
Rogan and Rodney Roulette. Know your squad.
All right, Gino, our buddy listening on the app in Virginia. Are you there?
Yes, I am. What's up, gentlemen?
How you doing today?
I'm driving to see my grandkids right now.
Oh, outstanding. Outstanding. Give them a hug for us. Okay, it's Know Your Squad.
Hey, Dodgers, let's go.
Let's go. And in Know Your Squad, you've got five choices. Please do not answer before all five choices are given, or you will be locked out.
Don't get locked out.
Locked out.
Ron, are you ready?
Happy Friday, Rogan and Rodney. Let's play the game.
Okay.
Let's go, Gino. Let's you fired up, Gino. I like you. Let's go.
Let's do this. It's Friday, baby.
Let's go. Let's do it. Which of these pitchers has the lowest ERA on the team among starting pitchers? Julio Urias, Clayton Kershaw, Walker Buehler, Trevor Bauer, or Eddie Bauer?
Julio Urias.
Nelson, no!
Trevor Bauer.
Walker Buehler.
Rodney, Trevor Bauer. Rodney got it.
That's a good start on a Friday.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Never lost. Never.
All right. Quit bragging.
Yeah, it's early. You're right, Gino. It's early.
It ain't bragging if you can back it up, Gino.
All right, let's take you down a notch. Come on.
Here we go. Who currently has the team lead in home runs with 13? Justin Turner, Will Smith, Max Muncy, Chris Taylor, or Eric Taylor?
Justin Turner.
Muncy.
Rodney got it first. Max Muncy. Gino, you were there, but Rodney got it real fast.
Mm-hmm.
Time delay again in Virginia.
Oh, there you go. There you go, Gino. Oh, use the old time delay.
Yeah, but you know, even if you did have a time delay, Ronnie does it.
I know.
Ronnie, you don't have a time delay.
Come on.
What'd you say, Fred?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. What?
You speaking to me?
What?
Okay, here's your next one. Only two Dodger players have stolen bases during last year's NLCS series win over the Braves. Mookie Betts had one of them. Tell us who the other one was. Jock Peterson, Kike Hernandez, Austin Barnes, Cody Bellinger, or Cody Rhodes?
Austin Jock Peterson.
Barnes. No good.
Cody Bellinger.
Chris
Cody
Taylor.
Bellinger.
Gino is on the board. Cody Bellinger.
That's too obvious.
Then why didn't you get it?
It's too obvious.
Stop it.
Wow. Too obvious, so I chose something else.
Now you're going to say time delay?
Gino.
Gino. Gino, you better slow your roll.
Never lost.
Pull that.
I like that.
Yeah, capture that one.
I like it, Gino.
Yeah, we'll
save
the
energy, baby. Come on.
Who holds the Los Angeles Dodger record for most career wild pitches?
Whoa.
With 94.
No idea.
Fernando Valenzuela, Clayton Kershaw, Sandy Koufax, Don Sutton, or Darren Sutton?
Don Sutton.
No!
Sandy Koufax.
No good.
Clayton Kershaw.
Yes, Kershaw. That other guy. That other guy.
How about
that other guy?
Nelson Young.
Who's the other one that you said? Sandy Koufax. No.
There's Don Sutton. I already said that.
It is no good.
He said Don Sutton.
Fernando Valenzuela.
Fernando. Rodney.
Is that racist?
Yes, Gino. You cannot yell that out.
It's Fernando Valenzuela.
Yeah, you can't go out nicknames. We established you can't yell nicknames or ethnicity.
Racial epithets.
No.
Gino.
All right, here comes the next one. And the best part of it, Gino,
The black guy.
Right, yeah, Gino. And the best part of it is he goes, I yelled the Mexican.
I know.
You couldn't just let it slide. All right, here's the next one.
What's the score, Fred?
It's 3 for you, 1 for Gino.
Uh-oh.
Ronnie,
are you here today?
I think there's a delay here, guys. Really. I honestly believe there's a delay.
Okay, but I'm looking at you and reading your lips.
Gino, are you ready?
Yes, let's go. Come on.
Come on. Which of these players was not a National League All-Star in 2019? Hyunjin Ryu. Cody Bellinger. Which of these players was not a National League All-Star in 2019? Hyunjin Ryu, Cody Bellinger, Max Muncy, Corey Seager, or Bob Seager?
Max Cody Muncy. Bellinger.
How about you?
And it is no good.
Bob Seager.
No, senor!
Justin Turner.
No good!
Not even an answer.
Not even a...
Hyunjin Ryu.
And it is no good.
Oh, Ryu had the big year. He was an all-star.
Uh-huh.
There's only one more?
What else we got left?
There's only one more.
Only one more.
Clayton Kershaw.
How about
Repeat
you?
Repeat that question.
Corey Seager.
Corey Seager, Ronnie's on the board.
I said Bob Seager, didn't I count?
No, not the singer Bob Seager. He was a choice.
Oh.
So here's where we're at. Rodney cannot be defeated today.
Yeah!
Never lost.
You heard that, Gino. You heard it.
Stop it. Carry on, baby.
I don't lose.
All right, so here we are. Rodney has 3. Ronnie and Gino are playing for 2nd place. They each have 1. Good luck. You want to let them play this out, Rodney?
Yeah. Let's see. Both of them have 1, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see who comes in 2nd.
Here we go.
Do you like Larry Bird? Which one of you guys want to come in 2nd? 3-point contest.
That stinks. Boston sucks.
Okay. Gino. Who holds the record for most games played in Los Angeles Dodger history with 2,181 games played? Pee Wee Reese, Gil Hodges, Bill Russell, Duke Snyder, or Daniel Snyder?
Bill Russell.
Pee Wee Reese.
Ronnie gets it.
Daniel Snyder?
Yes.
Wow. Bill Russell, number 18.
That's right. More games than
I got his autograph.
You did. You got his autograph, huh?
Yeah, I got all the infield autographs from Russell, Say, Lopes, and Garvey.
Nice.
And you know, Paul Maddox.
Do you know Bill Russell? I don't know if you know him, Gino, but I'll tell you, Bill Russell's a really nice guy.
Very nice guy.
He's terrific.
I got a tip for you. Did you know Davey Lopes when he was a Dodger? And he left the Dodgers. He never signed his autograph. He always signed it on the Dodgers letters because he hated the Dodgers.
What?
Now say that again, Gino. He left the Dodgers, and then when
okay,
he signed.
Let me say it right. When he left the Dodgers back in the 80s, he regretted and he detested that because he always wanted to be a Dodger. So he would always sign his autograph on the Dodgers logo.
Really?
Yes, I have that signature.
Wow.
And I got Gibson's bat from the World Series.
You have Kirk Gibson's bat? 25.
Of course I do.
Oh, of course you do, Gino.
Of course you do.
If you only see my Dodgers wall, just Dodgers autographs and jersey cards, you guys would love it, but I don't have Twitter to show you guys a picture.
Oh, but we had to know your squad was the Dodgers, and you didn't win.
I know, but you guys are fast. You guys are fast. Hey, but you guys talk sports all day long. Come on now.
Come
on,
Jim.
You guys talk sports all day long. You guys got a heads up on me.
All right, listen.
Anyways, good call, man. I love you guys.
All right, go hug your grandkids for us. You know what, Kevin? We'll give the Giltinis tickets away in the next segment. All right? Coming up at 1 o'clock, Ned Coletti will join the show.
And now another Rogan and Rodney.
Oh, yeah!
Afternoon Delight.
Had no connection, no faith or direction, no. Searching and searching for someone to save my soul.
Afternoon Delight is Lost by Maroon 5. This song appears on the pop group's recently released album entitled Jordy, which is named after the group's late manager, Jordan Feldstein. In a recent interview talking about this track, frontman Adam Levine said, Lost is actually, I think, one of my favorites we've ever done. I think it's one of those weird ones that just captures everything the band stands for, all in one song. Whether you liked us back then, whether you like us now, whether you'll like us later, I think this is the kind of classic sound that we've always had. The album features artists like Stevie Nicks and Taney, as well as late rappers Juice WRLD and Nipsey Hussle. Again, today's Afternoon Delight is Lost by Maroon 5.
I hear that. You know what I think?
What you think?
My heart is open.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was one of my favorite Maroon 5s. My heart is open. All right, is your heart open to rugby?
I thought it was Moves Like Jagger.
Well, there's that, too.
Okay.
There's that, too. And do you have Moves Like Jagger if you like rugby? Because it's here Sunday. You'll have a chance to see the Giltinis.
Oh, yeah.
At the Coliseum against Houston.
Oh, yeah.
And let's welcome on the general manager of the Giltinis, Adam Fryer. Adam, thanks for jumping on.
But Dane, thanks for having me back on, Matt. I really appreciate it.
We loved the last time you were on, and we love the Giltinis taking on Houston Sunday at the Coliseum. Adam, just for our listeners that aren't really acquainted with rugby, why should people come out and enjoy a game this Sunday?
Well, it's Sunday afternoon. What better way to do it? Look, the thing about LA, which I've found, is that we, even just watching the NBA playoffs at the moment, they love a winner, right? So we're going okay. We're 8-2. We're on top of the comp. Expecting it to be a nice sunny afternoon. Have you ever seen a sunset at the Coliseum?
I've been fortunate. Yes, I have.
Yeah. No, we're pretty pumped. We're expecting about 4,000 there, and we're in a good spirit at the moment, mate. Like we're looking pretty good. And mate, when we played it so far, which is the last time we played here in LA, we had over 5,000, and just the energy we got off that. Now there's no place like home. And look, so far it was a magnificent experience, but to get back out to the Coliseum, we absolutely love it. So no, we're pretty pumped, mate. And look, anyone new that's coming out, expect something a bit wild and a bit different. And let's hope in a few weeks' time we'll be able to break it all apart and start a real party when they restrict those COVID rules back a little bit. But no, we're pumped for this weekend, mate. We really are.
And for people, again, that aren't really acquainted with it, how is rugby doing here in the United States?
Look, we're going well. It's still a bit confusing. Like, if I asked you now, how much would it cost to go and spend 80 minutes with a hooker, what would you say?
Oh, I'm not really sure, but I'm guessing about $350.
Well, hooker's a position in rugby. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, no one understands it. Like, hooker, I played hooker when I was a professional in Australia. I'm more a high-class hooker than one of those other ones. But, you know, we are different positions, different types of language. So hooker's the guy that stands, like, sits right in the middle of it. Like, they cop all the contact. They throw the ball into the side of the field. And, look, any of your listeners out there that can sort of, you know, play this one, if you can tell me and your listeners can tell me what a prop is, what a prop is in rugby, we should give them some free tickets because the hooker sits right in the middle of the prop. So you quickly jumped the gun and went to that other hooker. But, yeah, we're finding our way. Like, positions are a bit different, but, hey, the collision, the entertainment value is still there. And we call it rugby without – oh, sorry, football without pads. But, yeah, it's not too far off. And once you get there and understand the rules, and even our delivery guy here is now a season ticket holder, He loves it. So once you get out there and experience, it's pretty easy to pick up. But it is gathering some momentum. And the other thing is here, Dean, which you can break as well, the USA been accepted as a World Cup bid application, which is just huge in 2027 or 2031. You get a Rugby World Cup here. That's the third biggest event on the planet. So it's going to take some time, man, no doubt about it. But, you know, baby steps, but we've accelerated. We are over-delivering on what we thought we'd do in year one.
Adam Fryer is the general manager of the Giltinis. He's with us today. You talked about terms. Okay, so we got the hooker down. What about the ruck?
Mate, now you're starting talking about hookers and rucking. Is this weird? Like, I don't get it. I don't know what this show's on about. But a ruck, right, okay. So ruck, you got two bodies, right? If you got someone, this is getting real weird, Dean. Like, this is a ruck, a hooker. And if you got two people going at it, that's a ruck, right? So that's, you're lying on the ground, bloke's got the ball, and there's two people hammering to get over it and challenging for that ball, that's a ruck. That's so we've got the best ruck in the competition, and we're traveling okay in that part, but I don't know where this interview is going, mate. This could be going anywhere, but a ruck is very, very normal. It's very sensible. Right. It's very safe, yep. But it's all about grit and determination over the ball.
Okay, so we got the, we got the ruck, we got the hooker. If we got that, what about the maul?
Yeah, maul's an interesting one, right? So if you think of football, think of a touchdown, right? When you're right on the line and the quarterback's got the ball right on the line, right on football, and they're driving each other back. They've got two packs going hard out at each other. What a maul is in rugby is just imagine that quarterback could hang behind the front line, stick his head between their asses and drive and drive and drive and just inch forward and just close and get over the line. Instead of diving over the line, he can actually bury his head and bury over. That's a maul. So in rugby, you get two of the forward packs sort of grilling over each other, and you just chisel away and you just maul it through. So, mate, that's a real important part of rugby. And again, it's part of the Giltinis this year that they've been doing pretty well, scoring plenty of tries off it.
Now, you're in your 40s. You're the general manager. Didn't you work out with the guys this week? What was that like?
Oh, yeah. It's not something I'm that proud of, because in my position, which is like, I don't want to be going in there and schooling these young kids, but in my position, we're down about to our six. Like, we've got a lot of injuries in the hooking position. So, yeah, the coach asked me to jump in. I only retired semi-pro last year, and I jumped in, and like, I went all right. And, we had a big tussle. But, you know, the thing that made me most pumped in the position I was going against, I was playing against this kid called Jalen Robinson. Remember the big dog, Glenn Robinson, from the Bucks in Atlanta, the number one draft pick? That's his son. Yeah,
really?
His son. So we just signed his son. Yeah, but the thing about him, everyone's expecting him to come in and, you know, be this, you know, awesome basketballer. He's a footballer, man, and a wrestler. So, yeah, he's come in hot. And I was packing up against him. So he's probably thinking, oh, I'm packing down against a wallaby and a rugby Aussie legend. I'm sitting there going, man, this is the junior big dog. Like, this is Glenn Robinson's kid. So I was probably more pumped than he was. So we've got a real good mix of players coming through. And the best thing about our sport, we're attracting wrestlers, we're attracting football players, we're attracting basketballers. Like, it's a real blessing. And all of these talents coming out of the woodworks knowing we're playing well. So, yeah, it's starting to come together, but I don't want to be doing too many training sessions, mate. I'm a keyboard warrior now. I don't like the rough stuff. But it was interesting, and the players got a bit out of it too, and it was a bit of comic relief as well.
You know, it got me to thinking. You said people are starting to notice it, and when they see it or hear about it, maybe they want to try it. Do you even have tryouts for the Giltinis or no?
We do, yeah. In the off season, we will. Are you up for it?
No, I'm not. One look at me would indicate I'm not up for it. No.
Everyone keeps telling me how much you know about sport. Maybe you jump in and do it.
Yeah, I don't think so. You know what? I sat down and pulled a hamstring. So, no, Adam.
No. We got tryouts. Yeah, we will. In the off season, we will. We have different types of combines and things like that. But, mate, this is the thing that I've really, especially in Los Angeles, that the depth of talent and sporting talent, like, it's insane. So, yeah, nothing makes us prouder when someone comes across. And it takes a while to pick up the skills, but you know, we've got a lot of young kids coming through here that have had football careers, that have had wrestling careers. They've only played rugby for the last 3-4 years. They know when they come and play rugby, they can play in a professional league, or they can go to the Olympics and try and win a gold medal, because rugby's part of the Olympics as well. So it's got plenty to offer. It's I've been so impressed. I would not have thought it would have taken off so well than what it's done, but still a long way to go, mate, but we're going okay.
All right, so this Sunday, you've got Houston at the Coliseum. Tickets are $10, right?
They are. They're $10, and it's easy. And people that have been to the Coliseum before, awesome venue. Easy to grab a beer, $10 seats. And I just think, I know many of your listeners would have been to the Coliseum. Nothing better than a 4 o'clock kickoff. You get that beautiful sunset. You got a team that's in form coming up against Houston. Houston been all right this year, so it'll be entertaining. There'll be plenty of tries scored. And for $10, it'll be an easy win for you, mate. So we'll get you out there soon, too. I know you've been keen to get out and see a couple of games, but I'd love to host you out there and share a Gillies Lager with you.
I would definitely do that. Adam Fryer is the general manager of the Giltinis, and you can pay $10 and go to the Coliseum Sunday. Or the next four callers at 866-987-2570. We've got four packs of tickets. You need to be out there Sunday. It's a great afternoon. Adam, thanks for taking the time, and good luck this weekend.
Thanks, Nadine. Appreciate all your support and for this network, man. You've been unreal for the Giltinis. We really do appreciate it, mate.
Rogan and Rodney.
AM 570 LA Sports.